as we continue in the study on the fruit of the Spirit, let's notice Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. The Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." As we've journeyed through the fruit of the Spirit, we've looked at the fruit of love, that selfless care, that giving of ourselves for another, sacrificial love. We've looked at the joy of the Lord. We've looked at the peace that passes understanding. We've looked at the long suffering that God gives to those who abide in Christ, that patience that he gives to them. And we looked at gentleness, which is kindness. Another synonym for that would be kindness. And then last week we looked at moral goodness, which is what goodness there is referring to. It is moral uprightness. Today we're going to be looking at the fruit of faith, the fruit of the Spirit of faith. And so what we see is that when a believer who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ and who is walking with Christ, what's produced in their life, one of the things that is produced by the Holy Spirit is faith. Faith is produced in their life. We could look to some simple dictionary definitions of faith, which would be belief and trust in and loyalty to God. Belief and trust in and loyalty to God, that is faith. Complete trust is another word, complete trust. Something that is believed, especially with strong conviction. Another aspect to the definition of faith is the tenets or doctrines of a religion, the body of beliefs. Jude tells us to earnestly contend for the faith, to earnestly contend for the faith. And so faith there is defined as the body of truth. But that's not the definition that best fits the description here of that last one I mentioned, but rather the idea of dependence upon, confidence in, assurance, trust, these kind of things. As I thought about the definition of faith, really the scripture that kept coming to my mind is in Hebrews in chapter 11. And so let's skip over there to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. Before we read, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we look to you to guide in this time. We look to you to teach us and to expand our faith. Lord, teach us what it means to believe you. Teach us what this fruit is. Help us, Lord. We pray that you would continue your work in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And so as we think about the definition of faith, God really gives to us here in Hebrews 11 that definition, which I believe is exactly what we see when we see the Holy Spirit's fruit of faith. We see faith defined here. Notice Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Certainly a familiar verse, familiar passage to many of us. But notice it carefully, if you would. Verse 1 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'd like to dissect that a little bit here this morning. The substance of things hoped for. As I looked up the Greek word that's translated substance, this word I found to be a compound word. It is the word that would mean to stand or to set, establish, or firm. It would be the word literally translated a stable thing put under. And so it's the combination of this word that has the idea of firmness or stability coupled with the preposition, with a preposition that means by, under, or with, or in. And so we have something firm with, or something firm under. And that's literally the idea here. And so a good word, a one-word definition or definition of substance here, the Greek underlying word, would be undergirding, which is also a compound word. Undergirding. So when we think of substance, let's notice for a moment here in this familiar verse, it says it is the undergirding of things hoped for. All right, another word that we would use would be foundation. And so we could put that word in there. Faith is the foundation of things hoped for. And so, literally, this substance of which we're talking about, which is what God is using to define faith. He says, faith is substance, or faith is undergirding. Faith is the foundation, or it is literally the stable thing put under, okay? The stable thing put under. I want you to notice in Hebrews chapter 3 that this word is translated a little different. The same, very same Greek word that is translated substance is translated confidence in Hebrews 3 and verse 14. Hebrews 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." The word here, confidence, it comes from the exact same Greek word here that we have in chapter 11, verse 1, substance. And so confidence, the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, or the beginning of our faith steadfast unto the end, or the beginning of our undergirding steadfast unto the end, the beginning of our confidence. So back over here in chapter 11 and verse 1, when we think of something undergirding, we have often the foundation. In North Dakota, when we lay a foundation, we want to get below the frost line. That is a good building idea for most construction, especially a structure you want to last for many years. And so getting down below the baseline to a stable area in the earth, in the ground. And so we lay a foundation, all right? And so that is really what substance is. That is what this is pointing to, is something stable. It's something that undergirds. And so notice again the scripture. It says that faith, we're seeing God define what faith is. He says it is the substance of things hoped for. All right? Well, let's talk about things hoped for. Hope is an expectation, right? An expectation of what will be. Okay? If we hope for something, we wait for it, right? We wait expectantly. And it is really the Bible word hope is almost inseparable from faith, right? I mean, they're almost synonyms. So there's the idea of a confident expectation. It's not just wishful thinking, but when the Bible uses the word hope, we're talking about something confident, a confident expectation. And so something we are expecting to happen or to come to pass. Faith, God says, is the foundation upon which the expectation is built. Okay? So we have this thing that is in our mind that's going to come to pass. Maybe it's something God has said, more than likely. Something that certainly we hope would be grounded in truth. And so that is what we're looking for. We're looking for this, but faith is what it sits on. Faith is the substance, all right? So faith itself is not the thing, not the hope, but faith is what it sits on. And so we have God's promise to save those who trust Him, right? So we have God's declaration of salvation, okay? That is the thing that the sinner can hope for, heaven and cleansing from sin, salvation. That can be the hope. That's the That's the structure you're looking at. That's the hope, the thing hoped for. But the only thing is that hope won't be supported without a foundation. Otherwise, it'll crumble. All right? It'll never happen. And so unless there's faith, a sinner can be under the preaching of God's word, and the hope is put out there. But if there's nothing for it to rest on, if there's no undergirding, the hope will just go away. Nothing to sit on. Faith is critical. God says we can't be saved without faith. Can't be saved without faith. Someone can hear the gospel and go away and not believe it. Same gospel. Another person can hear that. Same service. Same words. And that person can get saved. Why? The difference? One had an undergirding. One had that substance. One believed God. And so faith is interesting. So as we see the definition, I love this literal definition of undergirding. Undergirding. All right, so what is faith? Faith is the undergirding. It's the foundation. It's the stable thing put under, all right, that holds up the expectation. So notice, now the second part, another aspect of what faith is in verse 1 here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Another word for evidence is, let's take it in a legal sense, okay? Another word for evidence, let's say the courtroom, all right, and a legal case on our hands. Another word for evidence would be proof. The jury is sitting there waiting for the evidence, right? Here's an accusation. Here's the defendant. Here's the whole scenario. And, let's see the proof. Let's see the evidence, all right? And so someone gives a testimony here, someone a testimony here, someone shares this there. None of the people that were, the judge wasn't there, right? But he's going to make a judgment call based on the evidence or the proof, okay? So the dictionary certainly agrees with the reality that proof is a synonym for evidence. And so when God says this in the definition here, as he defines faith, it's not only the undergirding of something expected, but it's the proof of something we can't see. It's the assurance of validity, right? Proof is assurance of validity. Did this happen? Were you in such a place? Did you take that? Steal that, right? Well, we look at this aspect, that aspect, this phone record, this testimony, right? And what do we have? We have proof, or else the lack of it, right? Either it's proved wrong. No, he actually wasn't there. He was over there. Or it's proved that, yes, he was there. I saw him leave that store. He made a phone call at such and such a time, and it was located in that building. And there's proof, right? Now, did anybody see him steal the item? Not necessarily. But if there's proof, you don't have to see it. So God gives us the definition that faith is the proof. Faith is the assurance of validity. And then the next aspect there of things not seen. Of things not seen. And so assurance of validity in spite of presently not being able to see it. Let me ask you this. Did you see God create the world? No, you didn't. Do we have proof that God created the world? Yes, we do. We have assurance of the validity of that, right? And so I want you to understand that as God defines faith is not apart from evidence. Because God actually defines faith as evidence. So faith is not just what holds up an expectation, what the undergirding or the stable thing put under, but faith is the assurance of validity. In other words, the Bible used the word confident, right? We already discussed that a little bit. If someone sees the proof, they are like, there it is. I'm assured now it's valid. So-and-so was there. So-and-so did take that. So-and-so, whatever the scenario, right? They're assured of its validity even though they weren't there, even though they didn't personally see it. Here's another one. I have not seen Jesus Christ walk this earth. Did he? Yes, and quite frankly, I'm absolutely assured of its validity. He did. He did walk this earth. I was not there. I did not see Jesus die on the cross. But we have the assurance of its validity. That's what faith is. Faith is the assurance of its validity. It is proof for what is not seen. All right? Now, some people saw it, but Jesus said, blessed are they who see not and still believe. And so faith is that assurance of validity. All right? So faith in itself is not a stab in the dark. It is not being convinced of something with no validation. Faith is based on something solid. Faith is the solid, all right? Faith is the solid itself. It is the stable thing put under. But faith is also the evidence. So God is giving us two aspects of what faith is as he is defining it here. Let me ask you this. I mentioned some past events that have happened that we have the assurance of their validity, such as Christ dying on the cross, I didn't mention this yet, but Christ rose from the dead. Were you there? But we have the assurance of its validity, okay? What about heaven? Have you been to heaven? No. But we have the assurance of its validity. That means we can know there is a real heaven. Why? Well, because by faith, right? Because we have evidence. Now, if we are trying to bolster up something that God has not said, if we're trying to, imagine something that has not been spoken to us about by God, do we have proof? No, we have not the same kind of faith of which God talks. We have some kind of faith that's got no evidence. And so we have the definition here of faith. And one of the aspects that was just mentioned of the proof is what the book says, what the Bible says. And so that is an important reality. All right, so faith is very important in the Christian's life. And God says that the fruit of the Spirit is faith. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. The Bible says that we are only saved by faith, right? So faith's important, okay? The Bible says we are similar to saved, we're justified by faith. The Bible says that we as a saved person need to live by faith, okay? Faith is the way to live, right? Which is the foundation of expectations, which is the validity or the assurance of validation of what God has said. All right, and so faith is vitally important in everyday life. Notice here in Hebrews 11, verse 2. It says, for by it, that's by faith, by this undergirding, by this validation, this assurance of validation. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, here we go. We already talked about creation, but here we go. Through faith, we, help me now, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Through faith we understand this, right? God said it, and that's the evidence. I mean, we have more evidence than just that. We know that God created the world. I mean, we look at the fossils, and we find evidence that there was a flood, just as God said. We find that all over the earth. And so we see evidence, certainly, in the scientific realm. We see evidence of just the intricate design, even of the smallest bug, that testifies to a mighty creator and designer. And so we do see evidence like that. It says in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. How did he do that? Well, he trusted God. He believed what God said. That was it. He was assured of God's validity, and so he acted on it. You see, until we can build something, we need something to set it on. Abel believed God, and that was the foundation of what he lived his life. The Bible says that faith, in James chapter 2, that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. That faith is, there's something missing. When something is dead, it's apparent that there's an element missing. All right? You have a dead squirrel, you have a tail, you have the fur, you have ears, you have the body, but it's apparent that there's something missing, right? And God says that if you have faith without action upon that faith, without a dependence upon it, it's evident that there's something missing in that scenario. And so let's consider that. So we're saved by faith. We are to live by faith. The Bible tells us here now that the only way to please God is by faith. Notice verse 5 here of Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, but was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we know that without faith, we cannot please God, because faith is that dependence upon God. Like the house depends upon the foundation, faith is that connection between the unseen and the seen. Matthew chapter 8. And let's begin with verse 5. Matthew 8 and verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, Capernaum is on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. This was a soldier who was in charge of a band of men. He was a soldier in leadership over at least 100 men. So when Jesus came, this centurion came unto him, beseeching him or pleading with him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Sick of the palsy was like a paralysis of the muscles, weakness of the muscles, stiffness of the muscles, to where there are definitely issues with these things today that are around and common. But this young man, this servant of the centurion's, was in a bad condition. Very bad, painful, in a rough condition. And so the centurion has come to Jesus with what? With expectation, right? He's come with expectation. It says in verse 7, and Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Right? I mean, that's the healing is what he was expecting, what the centurion was expecting. He had some assurance that Jesus could do something, right? That was his faith. He had the assurance that by coming to Jesus, things could be different for his servant. He had the assurance of the validity of what he'd heard about Jesus. Maybe he had seen some things, but more than likely he'd heard. He'd heard. And he was assured of the validity of who this Jesus was. And he had a pretty good foundation in his mind of who Jesus is, the authority that Jesus is. And so notice it says in verse 8, the centurion answered him. Now you hear Jesus' response. Jesus said, yeah, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to him that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I want you to understand that the bigger the foundation, the more expectation we can rest on it. Now, if you have a foundation, you can rest expectation on it. But the bigger your assurance of validity, the more expectation can comfortably rest. God talks to us about little faith, which can do a lot. But he also talks about great faith. And the disciples often said, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And so notice the great faith that Jesus finds in this centurion. And Jesus marvels. He says, wow, this is amazing. I've traveled all around the countryside. And he said, I have not seen faith like this in Israel. The faith the centurion had, first of all, he comes to Jesus expecting, right? He believes in the validity that Jesus can do something for his servant who is grievously tormented as a paralytic. But not only that, Jesus says, yeah, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion says, now, Lord, you don't have to come. You're busy. There's people to care for here. My house is a long ways away. I'm not worthy that you would come to my house. It's such a distraction from what you're doing here. I mean, he didn't say all this, but, you know, he's like, oh Lord, just speak the word. It'll be done. He had an assurance that Jesus was such a man of authority that it wasn't necessary that he be there in person to accomplish this great work. He believed, you give the command, it'll be done. Great faith. Great faith. And so, the greater, the bigger our foundation, the more expectation can be supported. The littler the foundation, the easier expectations can be toppled. God says the fruit of the Spirit is faith. When we have trusted Christ and are cultivating a walk with the Lord, we're abiding in the vine. God says what will be produced in that person's life is not only love and joy and peace, long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, but what's going to be produced is faith. What's going to get bigger is the assurance of the validity. What's going to get bigger is the stability of our dependence upon God. To be confident, not in ourselves, but in Him. The foundation supports the structure. We need an adequate foundation to support the structure. And so, consider this. Notice verse 11. And I say unto you, Jesus speaking, that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus says, wow, the faith is great. Here I am in Capernaum. And he says, this is amazing. I haven't seen faith like this in Israel. And he says, I tell you that people are going to come from far off and strange places and are going to be in the kingdom of God because they believed. Because they were assured of the validity of God's promise. And he also says, verse 12, notice the sobering verse 12, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What does Jesus say? He says, you can grow up in Sunday school. You can grow up in church and go to hell. Because if you don't grab a hold with faith, with an assurance of validity, if you don't grab a hold of the promises of God, he says, they won't be yours. You'll perish. And so the reality is that people can hear the truth and end up in a Christless eternity, separated from God. And others can hear the truth and accept it, and their faith will grow. Confidence is a word that God uses. Confidence. I'd like to draw two aspects. Now, when we think about faith, we need faith. It's critical. It's foundational. In fact, Jesus described it as the foundation. The foundation to support. Let me ask you a question. Can God, we have the ability, can God do this? And the other aspect, is God willing to do this? Okay? So can God bring a spaceship right down here that I can hop in and cruise right on up to heaven today? He can do that. Yes, he can. That is something God can do. Now, I am assured of the validity that God can do that. I'm confident. I know that he can do that. Now, where I waver is whether God's willing to do that, right? I know he can. But is he willing to do that? I'm not sure I'm willing, you know, for him to do that yet either. But you know what? That is an aspect, okay? So there's a can do. You think of that centurion. God, you can do this. Lord, you can do this. And when that centurion came to Jesus, Jesus already said, I'm willing to do this. And the centurion says, well, hey, do it. You don't have to come. Speak the word. It'll be done. He had that confidence now on those two fronts. Not only that God could, but that he would. And you know what? Notice it says here, verse 13, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed that self same hour." Now, the whole spaceship idea has happened. I don't know that they call it a spaceship. But you know, there's a prophet named Elijah. Now, in Old Testament times, it was a chariot. But notice it was a chariot of fire. Very well. Although it was probably far more sophisticated than any man-made spaceship. But you know what? The reality is that God has provided for Elijah. He provided, and that's in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, that God provided a chariot of fire that came down and horses of fire that came down. Those were probably jet engines with flames shooting out. They came down, swooped up Elijah, and took off in what the Bible says, a whirlwind. I bet there'd be a pretty turbulent blast in the wake of that aircraft flying away. But you know what God can do, all right? He's done it. And so as we think about it, as I draw it to a close here, as we think about faith, about the confidence, the assurance, there's a lot of things that I think that you and I would be able to readily come to assurance that we say, hey, God can do this. He's able. Is God able next week in this church facility to bring 50 people in the door? Is God able to do that? No question. Is he willing? Well, what is his will? You see, that's the important thing, because you know who's in charge? Not me. And so we as a believer, that's why God tells us that faith comes by hearing. You see, we need to get to know God better, because it's not about whatever idea pops into my mind. I'm not the commander. God is. And so you know what I need to find? I need to, yes, have confidence in what God can do. I need to recognize who he is. And so how am I gonna learn more about God's ability? Through the Word of God, right? Getting to know God. But you know what? In getting to know God, in spending time in the Word of God, I'm going to also gain a lot of insight and wisdom in what God is willing to do. What is his will? What is his will? There is the general will of God that we will read in the Word of God. But you know what? There's also the Spirit of God that will impress us on specific things. And when we have that impressed assurance of validity that this is what God wants to do, God tells us to step out. I think of a Noah, right? The Bible says, by faith, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his household. Let me ask you, did Noah see the flood? Not before, not when he would build the ark, but he believed God. What did Noah find out? He knew that God could. Noah had never seen it rain, but he knew that was no problem. He knew it was no problem for God to flood the world. But Noah was assured, not only is God willing, this is what God's going to do. Because God said it. So he was assured. And you know what was the testimony that he had faith? He acted on it. He acted on it. And so I hope that you've expanded in your mind a little bit. We'll be coming back to this because it is important. And God tells us that the fruit of the Spirit of God working in someone's life is faith. So God is desiring that we would have more faith, that our confidence in the Lord would be increased. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for what you are doing. Lord, I pray that you would expand our faith. I pray that you would help us to be assured of your will. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to not only understand what you can do, but that we would align ourselves with what you're willing to do, that we might see you accomplish your will in us. In Jesus' name, amen.